Tonight, Chicago Slim and Angie Brooks from the Chicago Blues All-Stars perform for New Music Monday. We talk nutrition with Kimberly Reddy, and we close Chicago Sketch Fest with a pretty late rap party. All that and more right now with Patty Vasquez on WGN Radio.
It is a Monday that I think a lot of people took the day off or given the day off. I don't know. Do people take the day off from Martin Luther King Day? If you're not given the day off, would you just take it? I think you should just take it. I didn't realize that it did not become a national holiday until the Reagan administration. Craig, you forwarded a great piece from Time magazine about the resistance from the White House even before Reagan. I guess it's understandable. Reagan's reasoning behind not wanting to support it as a national holiday were a couple of things, but one of them was he felt that then other special interest groups would then want special recognition. So he played the, if you didn't bring enough for everyone in the class, you can't have any. I think that's a weird way to go with that one.
That's weird. Especially about this topic.
Yeah. I don't know that everyone's going to want one.
And we're going to have to celebrate everything.
I think this one's... Is that a sort of a suspicion of other groups? Is that a lower regard for Martin Luther King? I'm not sure. I mean, look, that was a different political time. We continue to grow as not just as a country. I think globally we all try to move forward. Obviously, some places lag behind, but we kind of hold ourselves up as being an example.
Do you think they had the same kind of pushback as they were picking like presidential holidays?
Right.
Well, we're going to celebrate George. We got to celebrate everybody.
It's probably George Washington saying he should have been the only one with a national holiday.
Well, it is. It is called President's Day.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a clearinghouse for a lot of them.
Isn't it just the two? It's Lincoln and Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two other ones, and then there's President's Day for everybody else.
But we've got the benefit of hindsight, though, when discussing this issue. It's easy for us to say now, my God, I can't believe that they weren't going to do this.
Some would say it's almost 2020. That hindsight,
you would think so, close to it anyway.
Yeah, almost very much so. But there were so many of the things that go down before us, and yet we continue to make other mistakes, let's not even say mistakes, because in the moment we feel like we were making the right choices with all the information available. But I think it had to be disappointing for many people that they could not get the administration in the 70s and then into the early 80s. The resistance, Jesse Helms, one of the legislators, said that Martin Luther King's association with communists was a reason for not. I'm sure that's exactly why Jesse Helms was trying to hold up passage of Martin Luther King's holiday. But I hope that many of you thought for at least for a moment. I know that Glenn Frey passed away today, and it seems like it's just, everyone's kind of like now holding their breath as to like who out, like sort of out of, it feels, it continues to feel like out of left field. Glenn Frey passed away earlier today. We watched Die Hard in my house.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Griffin had never seen Die Hard. He wanted to know if Professor Snape would be swearing.
A little bit.
Here's the thing. Actually, only the couple of times with that word, right? Yippee-ki-yay and finishing it.
Right.
You know who swears a lot? Would be Bruce Willis, and he talks to himself a lot in the movie.
Well, he's alone. He's fighting up the tower, stepping on glass without shoes.
By the way, that is my favorite line in the movie.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
Shoot the glass. Shoot.
That movie is incredible.
It holds up.
It works on so many levels too, because it is technically a holiday movie, so you can watch it during
Christmas,
the holidays.
Yes. Yep. Poor Argyle.
It is the man movie, I think. Mm-hmm. I think if someone wants to see a man movie, that's the first one you show them.
Don't you think Griffin, that was a good action?
That's perfect.
That's his first action movie with that much violence. I mean, look, The Dark Knight is the reason I felt comfortable with the violence are the Dark Knight movies, in particular the one with the Joker, where he's like just slitting people's faces open. I felt that Die Hard, at the very least, sort of was in that genre of violence.
Absolutely.
Yes. The swearing was, it was the most swearing he'd ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
But do you realize that like E.T. and War Games also have profanity?
E.T.?
E.T.
What do they say in E.T.?
When they're playing...
You can't say it on the radio.
When they're playing Dungeons & Dragons... They call each other names that use profanity in the beginning.
Wow.
His big brother and his big brother's friends.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
And I think that even the little boy at some point repeats it because his big brother swears. I think Steven Spielberg was trying to show that if you have a teenage, you know, we bigger siblings, yes.
Because of all the developments with CGI and stuff, does E.T. hold up or when you watch E.T. again?
Yeah, the storytelling absolutely does hold up.
Mm-hmm. Just the flying on the bike and stuff?
Even that.
Okay.
Did we talk about Alan Rickman that one of the things you might not have known about Die Hard was that that falling scene, because they didn't have CGI, he had agreed to fall from a certain height. And what I enjoyed when he, not enjoyed of his passing, but going back and looking at interviews, some of the articles talk about it being a 40-foot drop. Some it was a 20-foot drop. When he was in an interview, he said it was 20 feet, but that they did push him before the agreed-upon time, which is how they were able to capture that
terror.
Yeah, because if you see Alan Rickman
falling, he nails it.
It's because he didn't know he was falling. He really didn't know that was about to happen. He knew it was going to happen.
Right.
He didn't know it was going to happen that soon.
Did somebody push him?
Yeah, they pushed him. They let him go off the...
Yeah, that is terrifying.
Yeah. So that look he has, which is, I just saw it. It's very good.
He just lived that moment.
He just lived it. We have a new guest of the show. I found a guest on Facebook. So I saw something coming up. You know, a lot of people are talking about their resolutions. Are you still talking about your New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Craig? Esmeralda, did you make a New Year's resolution?
Not sort of, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I did it today. I took a Krav Maga class.
You did? How did that go? That is cool.
It was hard.
Yeah.
I was wearing mitts, like so they could punch.
Yeah.
And the guy just punched the mitt off twice. I was like, okay, buddy.
Have you ever been the target for somebody else?
Well, that's what we were doing. Yeah. He was punching into it.
Had you done that before?
No.
Yeah, it's because you're like, not the face.
Yeah, and I was the only girl.
Oh.
And it was my first time, so I'm like, ooh.
Get it, Esmeralda.
I was a little frightened of that guy.
Nice. Well, we have a guest coming in the studio who's going to talk to us a little bit about fitness and your commitment to health in 2016. Kimberly joins us in the studio in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. I was asking Esmeralda Leon before the break if she'd been committing to her New Year's resolution. That's the thing. We've been trying to use the word commit instead of resolute. I resolve to make differences. It sounds so awfully proper. We have Kimberly Reddy in the studio with us. And you are, what's your official title? Like nutritionist, fitness expert? What do you want to be called? How would you like to be addressed?
Well, I own a health and wellness lifestyle brand is basically what I say. Mm-hmm. So I do everything from nutrition to lifestyle coaching, corporate wellness.
That's a lot of titles.
Seminars, just all around health and wellness, healthy balance is what I help people with.
And that's the hardest part is that people don't, they feel like if they've stumbled along the way, then they, do they give up sometimes when they feel like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that?
I think so.
I'll eat the next crappy thing.
Exactly. And there's so much stigma that comes with, you know, health and wellness that people think they have to eat, you know, boring steamed broccoli and chicken. And I say my biggest thing is just saying that you just have to find a healthy balance that works for your specific lifestyle.
Right. And I think people also get kind of caught up in body types too, because they'll see someone who's like, look, you're very lean, right? And so someone thinks, well, I really want to look like Kimberly. And they'll ask you, like, what does it do to look like you? No, what can we do with your life, with your body style, with what, you know, the way your body is made up to get to your best you?
No, exactly. I've done a healthy body image seminars because actually, I mean, people do look at me and think that I used to be anorexic growing up. So I have, you know, lots of stigma with, you know, self-confidence and body image. And I think that, you know, that's such a huge thing for women today. They see these beautiful women plastered, you know, all over billboards and they think, you know, oh, I want to look like that. And they don't realize all of the work that goes into that and all of the background and how beautiful it is just to be yourself and shine your light from the inside out. That's what beauty is.
Right. And how do you, like, with women who are hesitant to look at themselves, right? Because here's what I've been trying to talk about a lot lately is I wish at one point in my life, even before, I mean, because you mentioned your struggles with anorexia, you know, when I was a teenager, I don't remember standing in front of a mirror going, I'm okay. Or I like the way I look. It's always, as far as I can remember, it's always been, I hate my thighs. I hate my arms. I hate my belly. I hate my boobs. Is that something that you have found in your experience comes from different points of, you know, is it cultural? Is it, you know, relatives who kind of ingrain that in people? Does it depend?
I don't know. I think it's really hard. I mean, a lot of people ask me, you know, when they start to know me more about my anorexia, you know, where did that stem from? And I don't really have an exact, I can't think back. You know, my mom's this amazing, independent, single mom who's always loved herself. And she's like, you know, I'll do whatever I want, even if she's, you know, 20, 30 pounds overweight. She's wearing that bathing suit on the beach and she's rocking it, you know. Right. And I'm like, you know, actually thin. And I'm like over here, like with a towel. So I think it's just, you know, it's just how kind of you view yourself, and you get this, you know, warped image, and you just have to love yourself for who you are, and that comes within. So it doesn't matter how much I think other people, you know, say negative things or positive. You just have to be happy with who you are.
Right, because sometimes we're not even seeing what we think. We start thinking, how do they see us? What are they glomming onto? And they don't even notice it. I saw a show, by the way, Craig. I was surprised that you were not at Sketchfest on Saturday. You missed some stuff.
I was at the Cupid Players.
Oh, you were Cupid Players? You didn't text me and say you were there.
I should have texted you and said I was there.
You didn't stay for
Sketchubator.
I was at the
Cupid Players.
How good was that?
It was great.
Oh, but no, you didn't see Fudged.
I was with Betty, and she wanted to go to sleep, so
it's a long night. Well,
it's midnight.
There were a lot of sketch shows that sort of incorporated whether it's sexuality or comfort level with your own body, and there was a woman on stage in one of the shows that takes all of her clothes off, basically, and is very comfortable on stage. And I was looking around the room trying to think, like, who would be comfortable? And, like, that's an extreme situation of being really completely naked. But right. There are some people who don't even like to be naked with themselves. Ever. Like, they always have to have something on. And that's fine, too. But, you know, you have to stop hating yourself, whether it's hating food, too, what goes into your body, what's supposed to nourish you. Now, talk to us a little bit about nutrition and how we should look at the way we feed ourselves.
So the biggest thing is from nutrition, it really is about a balance. You know, I don't believe in the low carb, you know, low fat, all those different things. You know, I just say, I love donuts. I love Stan's donuts. You know, I was mentioning to that before.
A lot of nodding in the booth.
I love
yes.
pizza.
Sorry about the green room. Thank you, Lou Malnati's. So we have a lot of pizza.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have some before you go?
Of course.
Excellent.
But it's just eating the good stuff, too, I tell people. So I'm like, you know, add some broccoli in there. Add some kale. You know, it's not that you have to eat, you know, if you don't like broccoli, don't eat broccoli, you know, eat some carrots. But it's just trying to find the right amount of nutrients that your body needs.
What do we do for Craig? Craig, what can we get you to throw in there? Craig doesn't like any vegetables.
I would have a lot of Well, no, that's not true. I do like some vegetables. I like carrots. I like potatoes. Okay. I like some things that are, you know, vegetable-y.
He was like, I like carrots, meat, and potatoes.
I like those things. Yeah, what she said, right there.
And I think that's fine. I think, you know, maybe you like spinach. That's, you know.
I don't think he likes spinach. No, he doesn't like spinach. I know. I worry about him. Right? Because, I mean, how big of a role do fresh fruit and vegetables play in your
A really big
daily?
Role from what I've read this year. That is my New Year's resolution, by the way, is that I want to eat breakfast every day because I hear that's important. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to change my diet a little bit to incorporate things that are good for me, mm-hmm. not just things that feed me.
Would you consider like a smoothie, like in the morning, like having or whatever time of day? Because I have a blueberry, spinach, raspberry, whatever I can get, and also some peanut butter and protein powder.
Is that like when you hide the medicine from the
yes.
kids and like, okay,
kind of,
cool.
Exactly. I mean, yes. you can hide the spinach, you can hide the kale, and you do because you taste mostly the fruit, which is you get the sugar from
I
that.
I put coffee in there too.
Yeah, you put
so
protein
good.
Powder, you put Greek yogurt, you know, so many different things. But that's the best way because, you know, you can just drink it really fast. You can get a ton of nutrients where you're not, you know, chewing 5 apples a day.
Yeah, you can get a whole container. What I do is I make a batch every other day and then I just put it in a resealable jar for the other day. I tried
exactly.
to. I'm trying to be that's the thing is I think consistency. Let's talk about consistency because when somebody kind of stumbles and they go, well, I didn't do it yesterday, I may as well not do it today.
I think so, too, and a lot of it just comes down to creativity. You know, for me, I enjoy it, so I enjoy cooking, you know, and it kind of comes natural to me. But a lot of people, you know, they're really busy, they don't have the time, and it just becomes daunting to think of something. So that's why I tell people, you know, there's so many great apps out there now. We have,
yes.
we have an app for everything. There's an app to remind you to drink enough water. There's an app for you can put in literally what's in your fridge, and it'll give you a recipe for that. So,
what?
Yeah, it's amazing. I forget what it's called. It's something. It's literally like you put it in there and it gives you a recipe.
Do you think that a lot of people get really consumed with noticing results and noticing results kind of quickly? So if I change my diet, I, for some reason in my mind, want to see results in the first few weeks. How do you combat that? And then are there things you can do to actually start to give yourself some of the results that you're looking for as quickly as possible? I don't know. Because that seems to be my biggest challenge is when I start something, whether it's working out or changing my diet, if I don't see enough changing in the first few weeks, I give up.
Interesting.
I think.
And I can see that too. I mean, like, it's like, how long is it going to take? I think he's asking too, how long is it going to take me?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, in our society today, we want the quick fix, of course. But I say, you know, really ask yourself, how do you feel? You know, especially when you start eating healthy, you know, the lethargic is gone. You know, you start feeling more energized and then you want to do the activities and different things like that. So you might not, you know, see 5 pounds within the first couple of days. But if you notice you just cut out a couple cookies a day and add in a couple of smoothies, you're going to feel a difference with that. So
I think the smoothies will affect your energy. Exactly. I mean, like that's. You know, of course, I put coffee in mine, which is why I'm like, hey, everybody.
And then the M&M cookies being out of my diet.
No, she's not saying to take those out. Like, have instead of two, have one.
Just, you know, instead of the whole sleeve.
But there's so little of those cookies that it's so hard to stop.
Just stop short of the last one. Just stop short of that last one. Kimberly, do you prefer Kim or Kimberly?
Kim's fine.
Kim Reddy has an event coming up this Thursday, Chicago Women's Fitness in the Loop, from 6:45 to 8. And where's this event going to be?
So it's actually in the Chicago Women's Fitness Studio. Oh, so it's on Adams. It's 30 East Adams, Suite 900. So it's actually an information session that is for a 90-day mind-body transformation challenge that's actually starting on February 15th. But this session is just to kind of talk about what it's going to be about.
I like that it's the day after Valentine's, so you can get everything out of your system.
And that was planned.
I'll commit to it.
Exactly.
We'll find out more about the event coming up this Thursday at 6:45 to 8 at the Chicago Women's Fitness in the Loop. More after this on 720 WGN.
Came along, I wrote a song for you.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcases studio, joined by fitness and nutrition expert, Kimberly Reed. Ready? Kimberly, ready? Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for you. I was just looking at your picture. Do you do CrossFit?
I used to way back in 2008, but not really much anymore.
Why? What made you stop? I do CrossFit, but I don't. I'm like 3 days a week CrossFit. I'm not.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I think a big part, you know, that people said they don't, there is a lot of injuries. And I think that just comes down to having a good coach.
Yes.
You know, I had a lot of really excellent coaches.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But then I just got into bodybuilding, competing, and that's a completely different style.
Yeah, so. You are, you're doing very well in this photo. What kind of workouts do you do now? What do you, so it's bodybuilding rather than CrossFit, which, you know what? I don't think I've ever explained clearly what CrossFit is to our listeners that I do. How would you describe it?
So CrossFit is more like, I would say, compound exercises. So you're doing, you know, like cleans and different things like that, where bodybuilding is very isolated. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to isolate the biceps. So you're doing bicep curls, you know, whereas, you know, you're doing a hang clean to, you know, an overhead press.
You can say a power snatch.
Yeah, power snatch. You mm-hmm. know, very, very different. You know, you're using your whole body.
Right. And because to answer Craig's question, or at least thinking about how soon do you see results, it took me 8-9 months to really see some of the bigger results in the shoulders and things like that.
And then so take somebody like me who's not really working out at all right now and not really eating a healthy diet. What do I have to do to go from me to a better version of me, like as quickly as possible? Or is that a bad focus, I guess, again? Do I change my diet? Do I work out? Is it both? Can I do neither?
Can I just eat my cookies? No, the biggest is always going to be diet. I mean, you're going to want to work out because you always want to keep your muscle tone. That's what keeps you strong. Not so much, you know, looking like a bodybuilder, but just to have that strength and, you know, that supporting your joints and everything. But mostly it's just nutrition. And I'd say the biggest thing really is what everybody says, cutting out the sugar. So it's, you know, the soda drinks and the things that have a lot of sugar in them, lots of cookies, things like that. You know, it doesn't mean you can't eat them, it's just limiting them. So if you're drinking 5 cans of soda a day, maybe go down to 2, you know?
Where does a beer and wine fall into this conversation?
Sugar.
Sugar.
So, like I said,
healthy?
Hey, I love wine and champagne and all of those great things. So I think it's just, I always ask people, how much are you doing? And then you limit it down from there. So if you're drinking, you know, some people drink 6 cocktails a night. So go from 6 to 4.
Well, that's a different thing altogether, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, take 2 out. So yeah, so like a third. Try to do everything by a third less? Is that a good goal?
Yeah, because it's like it's sugar? Really hard from where you are just all of a sudden be like, I'm not going to eat cookies anymore. I mean, that's crazy. So it's just, you know, limiting it.
See, Craig, it's not crazy. I mean, you are crazy. Wait.
You're also beautiful, Greg.
Oh, thank you, Brandon.
A good Price crazy.
Says that you're good crazy.
Yeah.
I think that we all have our crosses to bear when it comes to treats and, you know, things that we think are doing. And again, I said this before, like, I wasn't going to drink yesterday at all. I was like, I spent a lot of time at Sketchfest and I had a really good time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go home and relax. And then my husband was like, oh, I bought some nice Côtes du Rhône, which is one of my favorites. I'm like, oh, I'll have a nice glass of wine. And then the next thing I'm like, I had another glass. And then I was like, oh, that felt really good. And then I woke up feeling bad about myself, not feeling bad in general, but like I said, I wasn't going to have anything last night.
See, and the biggest thing like that is I tell people, you know, we're all going to slip. We're all going to have a night to enjoy. And it's just like, it's another day. So mm-hmm. just let it go and enjoy it. You know, like I said, I love
it. Let it go.
Yeah, just let it go and do something else, you know, the next day, you know, instead mm-hmm. of berating yourself. And I think that's the hardest point. You know, people berate themselves all the time. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. And they're thinking about yesterday. All day, the next day.
Oh, don't think about that. Yeah, you're right. Let it go. Yes, Craig, we're in a Frozen musical now.
Okay. That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot online about nutrition recently, actually, because I want to get more nutritional. Is that it? Is that? Can I say that about myself?
Nutritious?
Okay. Nutritious. Ooh. That's what I want to be. Mm-hmm. I just lost my train of thought. Is there any kind of validity to the cheat meal? Like every single week you try to follow this diet and then you're allowed this one.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
I don't even, I'm not
meal.
Even worried about what the nutrition expert says.
I read a lot that like that's okay. If you focus it on all one meal and you just go crazy and then it's your only cheat
How
meal.
How crazy is crazy?
I don't know.
I kind of want to know what your crazy
is. I guess
you
pick your own adventure there, Patty.
Yeah. Are you going to the Porky Shoppy? Is that where you're going to go with that?
Oh, God, I love the Porky Shoppy.
Is there more than one Porky Shoppy?
There are several Porky Shoppies.
I saw a Porky Shoppy on Western Avenue.
Yeah, I think there's at least three.
It should be Porky Shoppy, by the way. I know it's Pork Shop. But...
Right. Well, they think it's Pork Shop.
It's
they
porky
put
shoppy.
That extra P and the E on there for a reason, so I pronounce
fault.
That. Yep.
I cut off Kimberly, by the way, with her answer.
Yeah, something about
I'm just
stuff.
Listening,
the cheat
you know,
meal.
Chops and pork and pig
and booze
and bacon.
So good,
and,
wonderful.
Know, I'm getting really hungry.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to ask. I mean, we're talking about
cheat meal. Like, well, cheat meal. Focusing all of your deliciousness in this one ridiculous cheat meal.
I think definitely. I mean, even in bodybuilding, you know, we would have cheat meals and it would be an all out, like, not a binge-a-thon, but, you know, if you want to go out, you want to have some waffles and then you want to, you know, drink wine at night with your steak and potatoes, I think that's fine. You might want to be able to, like, move around and not just,
you know
go into a food coma.
Do you know what they have on the menu at Howl's and Hood, by the way? They did just add chicken and waffles to the menu, fried chicken and waffles. I'm sorry, I just got hungry.
Which are amazing.
Well, when you mention bodybuilding and you have, like, you feel like you've worked out really hard, sometimes, I mean, that is something to sometimes work toward. To Craig's question about what can you do for working out, I've been really telling people that even on YouTube, there are consumable short videos. I used a Fit Blender to get started a couple years ago. And they're anywhere, like their warm-ups are 6 minutes, and then you can do a 20-minute or a 12-minute arm workout. And you were talking about isolating, because people do have parts of their body that they want to do more than others. Is that a good way to go, too?
I think the hardest part is that your body doesn't know that. So you may want to lose, you know, the flab on your arms, but that may not be where it's going to go first. Mm-hmm. So I always say, you know, just always stick with, you know, a full-body workout. You can split it up, like have a back and shoulder day and different things like that.
Right.
But never try to do like 1,000 crunches, you know, and expect that to work out. Just, you know, just get
spread
all
it
around.
Out. Yeah,
yeah, spread it out.
I told you, I like that guy with the 4-minute abs. There's this one guy, I can't remember, like Mike Chan, I think is his name. He does the 4-minute abs.
I'm sold in 4 minutes
yeah,
of stuff.
It's a
that
four
sounds
minute.
Really great.
Go on YouTube and look for 4-minute abs and like you're getting started. And they had like the Russian rows and, you know, feet, you know, all different kinds of isolated ab workouts.
I think stuff like that is great because, I mean, it's better than, you know, not doing anything at all. And I think that's where a lot of people do get tripped up. They think that they have to go to the gym and work out for 45 minutes and that's daunting. So I always tell people, you know, go in there, just jump on a cardio for 15 minutes if the weights intimidate you. And then, you know, the next day, maybe try 20, you know, just work your way up to it. Don't feel like you have to be this amazing person in like 2 days
because you are amazing every day.
We got a couple questions from the 606. I feel like I have to read these.
Let's take a break and take the questions.
Well,
and Brandon, if you have any questions, yeah, because I think the band is trying to set up a little bit too.
Oh, got it right. Yes,
they're hovering at the door.
Let's do that.
There's the people hovering at the doors. Questions at 312-981-7200. We're hanging out in the Allstate Showcase Studio with Vamps at Sketchfest and Cuba Players. Brandon C. Price, Kimberly Reddy, who is a part of she's got a 90-day mind body transformation challenge, and you can go to the Chicago Women's Fitness in the Loop, 6:45 to 8 p.m. This is for women. This is about body image. This is about committing to doing better for yourself in 2016, right?
Exactly.
Okay, more when we come back. Again, 312-981-7200. We'll take your questions by phone or by text after this. I should probably push this a little. Oh, there we go. Great. Now I want a rubber biscuit. Rubber biscuit. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Vamps and Cuba players Brandon C. Price. He has some fun news for us that he told us a little bit about last week, but we'll learn more about the new shows coming up at MCL. Kimberly Reddy has an event coming up. You can go to, should they go to the Facebook page for the Eventbrite invitation, or how should we send people to get more information?
You can just go to the Eventbrite. So it's just,
It's okay.
It's mindbodytransformationchallenge.eventbrite.com.
Which is it?
So it's mindbodytransformationchallenge.eventbrite.com.
And I'm going to take this challenge. So we have to figure out a way to document this like every week or every other week as during the 90 days. I know. See, do I do the before and after? Because you have before and after photos of yourself.
Yes, I think before and after photos is kind of nice because you see yourself every day. So it's really nice to take photos like every 2 weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. Because you get a chance to really see some changes that you're not going to notice looking at yourself in the mirror every day.
Right. I have the one thing I have the most trouble with. Well, I have several spots. So let's find out what our listeners want
to
talk
about. You're way too hard on yourself. Women are way too hard on yourself.
No. I am. I'm hard. I have really big quads. That's just something I was a sprinter and a softball player in high school. So those muscles got a little overdeveloped when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old because I played Little League Baseball. So that's just who I am. And then I'm a little curvy. So swimming wasn't the easiest thing to do. And then swinging a bat. Shut up, Brandon. I got a little busty along the way. So I think you kind of, depending on who you're around, we were talking about, where does it stem from? Where do your, sort of image of yourself come from? From your friends, from your family, from pop culture? I think for me, it was a combination of things. Having a coach tell me that I needed to bunt because I couldn't get the bat around. Right. Okay. So let's go to our, that happened.
I don't have that problem.
That happened.
I feel like I have to read the text message from the 606 in order. One came in right at about 11:30 while we were in the news. How good are onions for you? I love onions. Then 5 minutes later, I'm serious about the onion question. I cook whole onions in a pot when I make pot roast. Really like them that way. And then one more time. Hey, don't forget the onion question.
Okay, onion question is up. So we're talking about the food, not the publication out of Wisconsin that has
which is lovely.
Really love.
Probably not very
as good
nutritional.
In a stew.
I love the onion. No. I think the ink is bad for you. So by the way, there is a thing with onions. If you can come a little bit closer to your microphone, just so we can hear you, you have a lovely voice. There's people think that there are medicinal properties, but this seems to be someone who really wants to be able to incorporate onions into every dish.
No, I love onions. Onions are great. You know, I say eat it up, put some onions on there. But yeah, the medicinal, you can put onions on the bottom of your heels, and that's supposed to be a healing, healing power. And
it's
that
supposed
is
to, like,
true.
Draw out toxins.
Mm-hmm. And I have had people that have done that, and they say it really does work. So onions are great.
You just step on the onion?
Well, you put them in your
sock. Yes. And you sleep on it.
Yeah, you sleep with them in your socks for your heels. It's supposed to draw out toxins to the bottom of your feet. Craig's like, that was
like
one of the questions.
Or...
yeah,
okay.
And do not use them then in your pot roast, please. These are different. These are entirely separate.
The
onions.
Same thing works with tomatoes, right? You can like roast a tomato and put it.
Nope.
Yeah. Go home tonight.
Try that.
And lay in
let me know how that works out for you.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Okay. Then Betty was just making fun of me a few weeks ago. Yeah. That's just great.
Sorry. Well, does Betty have any sort of like a familial, traditional?
She believes in a lot of this stuff with like the cooking the food and then you don't eat the food. You put it on like your face. There's a lot of those things for healing my sicknesses.
I said this a couple weeks ago on the air. My mother, when my stomach was upset, she would give me the juice of a fresh lemon and baking soda, which then bubbles up, which I thought was ridiculous, right? Well, one night I had really bad, indigestion, and because that's something you clean with. It's like lemon and baking soda also gets wine out of your cabinets. So I looked it up, and lo and behold, it is a bicarbonate. And it does, and I took a little bit, and it popped out all that right open. That was a little too explicit. I apologize, but
I'm still thinking
things.
About the wine on the cabinets. What
are
you doing?
I have white cabinets, so
and I live hard.
I live hard. I'm like, I don't need this glass. I'm just gonna throw it, and then I have to scrub it out of my.
They
cabinets.
Get thirsty.
Yeah, it's a little. They're lonely. It's a Friday night. They've worked hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so onions. Do we have any other questions besides the onion question?
Onion guy was just really passionate.
Can you let us know now that he's happy with his response?
Yeah, please text us back 606. I don't know where that is, by the way.
We do want a before and after picture of your onion consumption and
text us onion photos.
Yeah,
garlic
is one of those things too where you can like hold your head over a boiling, steaming pot to sort of clean out your sinuses. It's Just saying, you know, for those, I have gone without health insurance when I was younger, and I would try everything. If I had like an ear infection, I'd try all kinds of, you know, homeopathic solutions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great holistic medicine out there, and especially for colds right now, what's really good is green tea with lemon and a little bit of honey. Mm-hmm. You can do ginger. That really works.
I'm glad you brought up honey, because I just asked my husband to bring this home today. Raw honey versus processed honey. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you definitely want to go with the raw honey. You know, anything that's processed, it's going to have like the honey bears in the grocery stores. They usually, you know,
it's just fructose. It's, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's they mix other stuff in there, and it's not as good for you. Whereas you get, you know, the raw honey, it's just literally pure honey. Mm-hmm. And the big difference that you tell is when it crystallizes. People think that means it's bad, but that's actually good. That means it's pure honey.
So I have that. I have a little jar. You actually have to use a spoon, but you don't need as much. So you just kind of put that in your tea. That's what I started doing today. Are you familiar with some doctors that say it's good at the beginning of allergy season to get local honey, because then you're kind of exposing yourself to what the allergens are in your local environment?
Yeah, I mean, because you have the pollen and different things like that, so I think that'd be great.
These are questions that you do. You're like, you told me just fitness for 2016. I know you're doing so well that I thought I'd push it. So this coming Thursday, you have the 90-day mind body transformation challenge, and it's going to be from 6:45 to 8 at the Chicago Women's Fitness, which is in the Loop. And I love that you have this graphic. I mean, it is about going from what you think you can do and achieving your best possible, you know, going in the right direction of doing everything you want.
Yeah, I mean, what I really wanted people to take away is that this isn't your typical, you know, lose all this weight. It's really about empowering yourself, you know, letting go of your self-imposed limitations and really, you know, doing the best that you can do and, you know, just being confident in who you are.
Right.
And along the way, you're naturally going to get healthier and you're naturally going to get stronger. And that's just a benefit, but that's not really what it's about.
Are you finding that there are people, like, because I think that when we're all in our teens and our 20s, we are, first of all, our metabolism is fantastic.
Yeah.
And we, look, you don't want to sit around and tell people, oh, it's going to catch up with you. But there is a way to sort of stay in the range of still being able to be who you are, whether that's being, you know, going out, having a few drinks, eating what you like. And you're going to change a little bit as far as what you can accomplish physically. How do people sort of maintain moving forward in their life as they get older? Kind of holding on to who they are, but yet understanding that they're going to change.
Yeah, I think you just have to be happy with yourself. And the biggest thing, you know, you're going to get wrinkles, you're going to do, and your skin is going to change.
Ooh,
but
acceptance. She's telling us to accept a few things.
But
yes.
That's just, you know, also, you know, being hydrated, you know, drinking enough water. And that's a big part of it.
Because, so you can start that anytime. Start your kids on drinking water.
Yeah, because as you get older, your skin starts to lose elasticity, and that's where your wrinkles come from. So if you drink more water, you're going to stay hydrated. Your skin's going to look, you know, a lot more glow, and those are just simple things that you can do.
Right. That sounds like a very simple solution. Brandon, did you have any questions?
No, I'm perfectly fit, but I agree with everything.
Well, are you drinking enough water?
No.
Oh, well,
they have an app for that.
Well, yeah,
it just reminds me to do it every time.
No.
Yeah, you can put it in there, like how much, you know, you want to drink throughout the day, and then it'll remind you, you know, like it's noon and you should be, are you at your, you know, 16 ounces of water yet?
It's not naggy though, is it?
I don't think so, because I think you can program it exactly what you want.
But any habit, like if you're trying to form it, you got to start off kind of naggy, even with yourself, right?
I don't know about naggy, but you want to be somewhat aggressive, not passive aggressive. Again, we've enjoyed having a conversation with Kimberly Reddy, and her event is this Thursday, Chicago Women's Fitness in the Loop, 6:45 to 8. It's the 90-day mind-body transformation challenge. This is the information sort of let you know what it's going to be like, and this starts on February 15th. We'll have you in a couple weeks and see how that went, and then get ahead of the February 15th event as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Real quick Onion Guy update. He said that he hasn't had a flu in a long time.
There you go.
So he thinks that's because of that.
Asked and answered then. Thank you, Onion Guy. I'm sorry, I wasn't even on. My microphone wasn't on. It was like a voice from another room. Brandon C. Price joins me in the Allstate Showcase studio. Would you introduce our listeners to our in-house band?
Absolutely. We have Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim from Chicago Blues All-Stars with Rock Me Baby. Like my game, got no ball.
blues. Roll me, daddy, like ya. Roll your flower down. I said I want you to roll me, daddy, like ya. Roll your flower down. Yeah. I want you to roll me till I won't no more. See, when you see me coming, go get your ride. Yeah. I always have to tell him twice. Yeah. I said, when you see me coming, go get your rocket. Yeah. I want you to rock me. Rock me all the way from here. Rock me now. Play the blues. I said, I want you to roll me, daddy. Roll me up slow. I want you to roll me till I won't no more. There's nights, Brandon C. Price. There are just nights where you go, I get to do this. I get to be here. Those of you listening at home and in your cars online, that's Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim. They are part of the Chicago Blues All-Stars. As you were up there, I need to know more about Angie. Is it weird when you read these bios or someone writes something about you and it says sounds like, and I'm like, it just sounds like Angie to me. Does that ever strike you as a weird thing? I mean, because when you're, you know, as a musician, as an artist, I mean, obviously you have your influences. Who did you grow up listening to and aspiring to be?
Actually, grew up listening to a lot of Coco.
A lot of Coco.
A lot of Coco. A lot of Betty Wright.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I look at this. I mean, I like Tracy Chapman, but that wouldn't be at the top of the list of who I would say you sound like. Because I love Tracy Chapman, but you bring something that is, I guess, inherently Chicago too, is what I hear.
Oh, well, since you like Tracy, we're gonna have to do some Tracy for you.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah. Well, yes, Craig, you were gonna say something behind. Yeah.
No, I love that they're taking requests now. I think that's good. I mean, the whole thing with you know, Angie being steeped in the tradition of the blues is that we didn't create it. This is something that we do as disciples of a genre that's been here for generations. So you kind of evolve of who you're influenced by, but Angie really is one of the brightest vocal talents on the scene. But everybody wants to, you know, for people that haven't heard her before, to say, hey, if you dig Tina Turner, you're going to love Angie. Or if you Tracy Chapman, you're going to do that. And she interprets a lot of the music through her filter, and it comes out sounding, like you said, uniquely Angie Brooks.
Absolutely. And that is the thing, too, is also bridging that. I mean, the passion that people have for blues in Chicago, you know, they go to Buddy Guy's or they go to the House of Blues, and you guys perform every Sunday night at the House of Blues?
Yeah, pretty much since Thanksgiving of 2015. They weren't really doing a lot of music Sunday, so, you know, we play there with the band, and I think in 2015 their three biggest nights were with the Chicago Blues All-Stars. So they said, you know, would you and Angie mind doing some acoustic stuff on Sunday? You get kids, got family, and we did it. And right now, I mean, it's one, it, Sunday, they're doing it. We're booked through February, and that'll hopefully go for the unforeseeable future.
Are you seeing some people bring their families, like, every week? That's their destination now?
We invite them up on stage, you know, because the whole thing is you can influence, you know, you're not going to win new blues fans with 80-year-olds. It's a 14-year-old that goes.
Oh, we can. We can do it right here on WGN Radio. We can win new blues fans with 80-year-olds.
14-year-olds are up on stage playing drums.
Sure.
They're joining Angie. I mean, she'll get them up singing. They'll do like a whole line of young kids. Every week, I mean, we'll have 10 or 15 people when she does Proud Mary. I mean, it turns, like, for an acoustic show, right? We don't have drums. We don't have keyboards. She will literally have 12 people dancing and doing the background vocals to her Tina. So I think it's successful, and it shows the power of the blues that it's three chords and the truth, and it's the groove that just sucks you in like a tractor beam, and when you're hooked, you can't leave.
Mm-hmm. Angie, where are you from originally?
I live in Gary.
Oh, you live in Gary, Indiana. All right. Do a lot of people respond when you say that? Because I feel like we're all dismissive and disrespectful to people who come from a neighborhood.
I'm right across the street.
Exactly. We're all right here. We're within blocks of each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Angie Brooks is live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You can find her on Facebook. It's A-N-J-I Brooks. And Chicago Slim is what? Every time I see a guitar like that, I forget to ask.
You know what? It was when you've played a million gigs, you know, when you're young and very full of testosterone and wanting to impress, you bring 12 amps and 30 guitars. Uh-huh. And then I just said to my friend, I go, you know, can you make me one guitar that does everything that I will ever need to do? And he did it. Mike Carparelli out of Canada. I go, I need the ultimate blues axe. And being almost 7 feet tall, many of the Les Pauls and Telecasters look like ukuleles. Mm-hmm. So he put a Telecaster on top, and he put a Les Paul on the bottom. And
Well, why not? Brandon, you know you want one.
I do. I do. I wouldn't do it justice, but I would like to touch it a lot.
It's a guy, you know what, the thing, I get a lot of like guy crushes at the gigs, like when we play the Kingston Mines, my wife, Dr. Carla, she will just sit there in the crowd and watch all the young 20-something millennials staring at the guitar and just wanting to touch my guitar and be my boyfriend.
Well, and you're a big dude. I don't know if I would come up touching your stuff. I mean, you are 7 feet tall. Yeah. Do you know, Dr. Dan, we're calling you Chicago Slim, but you are Dr. Dan. Do you and Dr. Carla call each other Dr. Dan and Dr. Carla around the house?
That's right. You know, and then we do a lot of role playing too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like, Dr. Carla, yes, Dr. Dan. More with our guests, the Chicago Blues All-Stars. They play every Sunday night at the House of Blues. We'll hear some more music after this on 720 WGN. We are so excited to have in studio with us the Chicago Blues All-Stars. We have Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim. Here they are with Gimme One Reason. Thank you, by the way.
Turn right back around. I don't want to leave you lonely, but you better make me change my mind.
Yeah.
See. Now, baby, I got your number. Oh, when I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. But you can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. But you better call me.
Yeah. Hey!
So give me one reason to stay here. And I turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here. And I turn right back around. That I don't want to leave you lonely. But you better make me change my mind.
Yeah.
I don't want no one to squeeze me. Cause they might take away my life. Squeeze me, cause they might take away my life. I just want someone to hold me, oh, and help me through the night. Give me one reason to stay here, and I turn right back around.
Can't you see me turning and turning?
Give me one reason to stay here. And I turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. But you better make me change my mind.
Hey. Come on now.
Songs and I was sitting, I was listening to Chicago Slim start to play the, you know, the chords, and I thought, well, that sounds a lot. I don't have a good ear for music, so when it changes, I'm like, oh, where's this gonna go? And it's so inherently yours now, you know, like that's the, how do you make something that people know so well in the public domain, as it were?
Everybody has to have a filter, and as a guitar player, I think the ultimate is to have your process and your sound when you hear Carlos Santana, you know it's Carlos Santana.
Sure.
and he played, like, when he did Black Magic Woman, it was Peter Green stealing an Otis Rush song, All Your Love, making it Black Magic Woman, that was a blues song, and then Carlos adding the Latin rhythms and his signature sound. Everybody thinks it's Carlos's song, and I think how you filter the music and how you serve it up, once again, we call it three chords and the truth. I mean, it's very, it's very simple. I mean, right. You know, the blues sometimes is even one chord. And,
right.
You know, it's what you do. It's the emotion you put and how you serve it up to where you reach into that person's chest.
Right.
And their heart is on your fingers and you are making them yours.
Well, exactly. And Angie, what do you draw from? I mean, does it change? I mean, it has to change all the time. What, you know, who you're talking to, how you're trying to communicate with the audience. Is it like this one? Is that when you've sung that song either now or before, are you kind of locking into one moment that you're speaking to a little bit?
Hmm. Let's see.
You got a story for
you. Find it.
You know, for me, blues is a feeling, you know, and you do
yes.
reach down deep, you know. I basically close my eyes and I'm gone.
You're there.
You know, and whether I'm playing for one person or 1,000, it doesn't
right.
matter, you know. It's a feeling. Most of the time, we feed off the crowd,
right?
You know, and you over there rocking in, you know,
exactly.
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, we've talked a little bit about Adele's song. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a survey for men and women. How many of the song "Hello"?
Yeah.
How many women feel actually feel compelled to try to reach out to their ex? And that's how, and was it like 64% of women actually decided to try to call, which is a ridiculous number.
Yeah, it was something as high as that.
It was like 17, and seven. I was surprised by even 17% of men were compelled. And I just, that's how much music can sort of create that emotion, sort of, you know. Brandon, did you feel like calling an ex when you heard Adele?
I just was, you know, Stacey didn't call. I don't know, she likes Adele.
But give me one reason from Tracy Chapman is one of those things where I think everyone has that moment, like you want someone to, and I felt that like with you, I'm like I don't know what reason I would give you, but they should give you a reason to stay.
Just one reason
to stay.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, I want you to stay because we want to hear more music and talk to you when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. We are hanging out with Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim. They are the Chicago Blues All Stars. You can see them every Sunday night at the House of Blues. Brandon's here too. We got pizza. Thank you, Lou Malnati's. More after this. It's Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's Pretty Late. We are hanging out with Brandon C. Price from Vamp and Cupid Players. And we have in the studio with us the Chicago Blues All-Stars, Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim. Here they are with I'm a Woman.
Everything's gonna be all right. Got the blues, hey! You see, now when I was a young girl, about 12 years old, you know I couldn't do nothing to save my doggone soul. But you know what? My mama told me the day I was grown. She says, sing the blues, child. Sing it from now on. Hey. I'm a woman. Oh, yeah. I'm a woman. I'm a ball of fire. I'm a woman. Yeah. And I can make love to a crocodile. I'm a woman. I can sing the blues. I'm a woman. Yeah. And I can change old to new. See, I spell it W-O. Hey! M-A-N. Oh, yeah. You know what that means? That means I'm grown. Hey, I'm a woman. I'm a Russian man. I'm a woman, yeah. And I can cut stone with a pen. I'm a woman. You know I'm a lover. I'm a woman. You know I'm an usher. Yeah. Whoa. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Nothing but the blues. But you see, think I go back yonder, back behind the sun, and I'm gonna do something to you, boy, that you ain't never had done. Yeah. Gonna hold back the lightning, hey, in the palm of my hand. Gonna shake hands with the devil, y'all, and make him crawl in the sand. I'm a woman, yeah. I'm a ball of fire. I'm a woman. You know what? And I can make love to a crocodile. I'm a woman, yeah. I know my stuff. I'm a woman, yeah. And I ain't never had enough. Hey!
Right. Craig's got a candle for you back there. More. That's the Chicago Blues All-Stars. That's Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim playing live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I was sitting there. I pulled up the lyrics by Coco Taylor, and I was. It's one of those things where you hear a song and you never quite put all the words together, but it's something else to know what you're saying as well. I mean, like, really know what you're coming to, and then hearing the way you sing it was really beautiful. And that was spiritual, was what that felt like. How old, do you remember how old you were the first time you sang that song? Because I'm trying to imagine like an 18-year-old Angie, and now, you know, she's, you know, maybe 29, maybe 30, singing it again.
Something like that. Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, blues was something that I just heard around the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's old folks' music.
Oh,
I don't want
right.
to hear that.
Right.
Yeah. But,
what were you listening to?
R. Kelly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
He's
that's
R.
good.
Kelly fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. But, you know, it's like repetition, you know, over and over, you know. And mm-hmm. Blues is such an easy thing to do because it's like it's repetitious.
Well, it's you know? It's I don't know, I think easy is a strange way to put it. For you it feels, I mean, that's right, to you it is, because you have a passion for it and it comes to you and you need to do it. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Gary.
In Gary? Oh, sorry, we were talking about Gary. So you grew up.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how did you guys end up at the House of Blues? Was it through friends, or it was kind of one of those things where you're like, let's see us now?
Through Chicago Slim. He makes it happen.
Does he? Chicago Slim. Okay. Dr. Dan.
You know what?
What?
The music does the talking.
Right. That's true.
You know, with the band, I mean, you know, Angie and I do this because, you know, we really enjoy, we're basically in this context recreating what the old Maxwell Street was like. You know, the days of the Blues Brothers movie where, you know, Aretha had her little soul food kitchen and John Lee Hooker was playing in the flea market.
Sure, you have street vendors. You've got live music every
Saturday, every Sunday. We'd stumble out there after our shows and play from, you know, whatever, 9 in the morning till 7 at night for tips, and try to find our stolen car stereos in the market.
Oh,
and,
dear.
You know, and, you know,
wait, my tape is still in this deck.
It's true. Well, you know, we had, with the band, I mean, I've been friends with Killer Ray Allison, who is a Blues Hall of Famer, who is a co-founder of the band, and he used to play with Muddy Waters,
mm-hmm.
played with Buddy Guy, Junior Wells, Coco Taylor. I mean, he's literally a who's who. He's played on over 200 albums, and I've known him before I ever even picked up a guitar. I met him playing in Muddy Waters' band at the old Chicago Fest before they redid Navy Pier, and I was hooked. I saw it.
Because you're also 30, correct?
Yeah, no, I'm 32. And it was an out-of-body experience seeing Muddy, and it was probably all that Olympia beer I drank when I was 17. But it was, to me, once I heard that, I said, Killer, I'm going to be your best friend, and I want you to take me down this path of debauchery and the blues. And for the last 30 years, we've been best friends.
Okay, Angie, when we come back, you know I got to ask him about debauchery, the blues, and medical school. You know that's going to happen.
I knew that was going to
happen.
Yeah. Put that in there, too. That's how I was exposed to the blues, to the music scene, through Killer Ray Allison.
Okay, wow, so you have a connection there too.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Now Killer hooked us up.
Nice. Well, to all our benefit. More with Chicago Blues All-Stars when we come back on 720 WGN. Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim, they perform every Sunday night at the House of Blues. Here they are with Sweet Home Chicago.
Patty, like I was saying, blues is a feeling. And every time I'm here in Chicago, I get this feeling of, I can't even explain, it's just a warm feeling inside, interacting with the crowd. So what I'm going to do is interact with y'all right here in the studio. We're going to have a little bit of fun right before we go home. Hey! This is how we do it in Chicago, y'all. But the blues. I said, come on. Now, baby, don't you wanna go? I said, come on. Now, baby, don't you wanna go? Yeah.
talking about the same old place. Sweet home, Chicago. Oh, come on. Now, baby, don't you wanna go?
Hey!
Come on. Now, baby, don't you wanna go? Same old place, sweet home, Chicago, yeah. See, 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4. I see my baby walking out the door. Come on, my baby, don't you wanna go? By the same old place, sweet home, Chicago.
I know we ain't got that much time, so check this out. I got a song, yeah.
I wanna sing, it just for you. If you dig the blues,
I want everybody to help me too, yeah. I want everybody to say the blues is back and it's here to stay. But I gotta tell you this story. You see, when he left me,
he gave me the blues.
You know, it's the last thing I thought I could use. But I'm so grateful to the blues, 'cause the blues has brought me back to you. Yeah. I want everybody to say the blues is back and it's here to stay. Now I'm gonna need y'all help with this. I say, hey, hey, the blues is all right. Come on, y'all. Yeah.
The blues is all right.
All right. Hey, hey, the blues is all right. Y'all say,
hey, hey.
Yeah.
The blues is all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Every day and night. I like that. I want to do that one more time. Yeah. I say, hey, hey, the blues is all right. Come on, y'all.
Hey, hey,
yeah.
The blues is all right.
Hey, hey, the blues is all right. Come on, y'all.
Hey, hey,
yeah.
The blues is all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Every day and night. Oh, take me home, Chicago Slim. Yeah.
I think not only have you made us happy here live in the Allstate Showcase studio, but so many listeners all over the world really right now who had that moment to enjoy the rich heritage of Chicago blues, but really in particular the talents of Angie Brooks and Chicago Slim. They are the Chicago Blues All-Stars every Sunday night at the House of Blues. And now you'll be able to hear yourself. I hung back on that microphone. I think we did a main harmony at some point.
I believe at some point.
I believe, Craig, don't we actually have a song called Patty Don't Sing? We actually have a blues song somewhere called Patty.
That is correct. There is a song out there.
It is both a request and a fact.
The bomb. You sound great.
It's 12 bar and A if you guys want to run through it.
Yeah, right.
You guys are great.
You were outstanding, and we have got to come see you at the House of Blues. And it is, and it's families coming to see them every week. We should be a part of that gathering. It's where you want to be on Sunday nights. We didn't even. What was that? Go ahead, Angie.
Next Thursday, we're at the Mines at the Kingston Mines.
You are. Yeah,
no, on the 28th. I'm sorry. We
do a pretty steady rotation every 6 weeks at Kingston Mines. Every month, and then weekly at House of Blues, and then we do, you know, Buddy Guy. We've got a lot of connection with Buddy. He's been a big supporter of the band. So, you know, those are the three places we go, and then whenever out of town, Beckins. But
And how do we find you? Is there a website?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely. So Facebook, it would be facebook.com/bluesallstars. Twitter, same thing, twitter.com/bluesallstars. And chicagobluesallstars.com.
Now, Angie, do we ask him about this CNN Doctor of the Year situation that he was up for?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dr.
Daniel Ivankovich, who was... healing Chicago's mean streets one patient at a time. What draws you to communities that, I mean, I you know, look, as a musician, as somebody who taps into the struggles, I'm guessing that has something to do with it, that you feel so much that you want to help people.
Well, we all have blues. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter who you are. My blues started when I was 17 and I was a All-American basketball player and blew out my knee, and my NBA career went mm-hmm. before my eyes. And I spent a lot of my time in these neighborhoods on the South and West Side, and I was exposed to the culture, you know, black culture is something that is so prevalent in society, yet when you go to the core on the front lines and really see it, the music, the food, and just the whole experience, I was drawn in, and then I got to come back as a musician, and now as a physician. I've been running a clinic for musicians for the past 25 years, and many of Chicago's blues community do not have adequate insurance or coverage, and I've been taking care of them for a long time. Our last album, Red Hot and Blue, all the proceeds went to a medical fund to help treat musicians who were suffering with things like kidney failure and not getting adequate care. So there's a handful of musicians that we've made a real big difference in their lives, and that's really what fuels and drives our band.
Well, it's remarkable music and remarkable work that you do. Thank you so much for that. And by the way, Surgeon, I think that your family was okay with the NBA career, I guess, eventually.
I guess they were okay. I still dress like I'm in the NBA. Wannabe or blues man. I never got used to a tie, and I never will.
I can see that. So is your surgery, your area specialty is endocrinology or?
Spine and trauma.
Spinal?
Spine, yeah. I trained here at Northwestern with Colonel Paul Meyer, who really was the founder of spinal cord trauma and injury, Vietnam vet, that he created this incredible program. I was one of his fellows, and I do a lot of reconstruction of the spine trauma, not doing as much gunshot as I did 20 years ago, but we've treated tens of thousands of Chicagoans that have been, you know, on the fringe health-wise, and it's a great city to be in for music, for healing, and second to none in the world.
I got a question for you off the air, Doc.
No, seriously,
I do. I have a son with a corpus callosum disorder who has secondary hypotonia, but has significant scoliosis. So I want to ask you for
your MRIs after.
I actually have his cat has a. No, yeah, I just gotta... no. I have a question about you about his ability to recover post surgery because he's intellectually unable to understand directions.
You know what? I think it's a very interesting area. The corpus callosum, as you know, is what connects the left and right hemisphere. So. Anytime brain surgery, I'm sure you've been through many opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important just to find it. Recovery for kids, believe it or not, they are amazingly resilient.
Well, since I'm asking, I may as well just continue in asking the question. Would he, for recovery for the spinal, you know, fusing, because it is significant for his scoliosis.
You know what? It's amazing, though. Let me tell you that we have many spinal fusions that we do. They mm-hmm. leave the next day.
Okay, that was my husband and I are really skeptical
techniques have gotten.
We're very scared. Yeah,
for a child, they don't let them go until they're able to eat.
Okay,
until they're able to get up and do what they do, because kids don't always tell you they hurt. They want to just go.
And
play.
And he cannot. He's nonverbal.
Right. But for them, they will watch him closely.
Okay.
And they are going to make it a point. The recovery is incredible. 30 years ago. Kids were in a cast for 8 months. Now mm-hmm. they are out. No brace, no nothing.
Okay.
And so it's scary,
yes.
But it's very positive. They do so many of these now, and they have such good outcomes. Ask a lot of questions, get a second opinion, but don't be fearful.
Well, that's what we're gonna. That's what we're definitely gonna do. Thank you so much for Patty's medical moment for Declan.
He heals the body and the soul.
That's have you been told that before?
There you go. I'm making a T-shirt. Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Take it. 5% royalties, my friend.
He said it. Oh, that's pretty reasonable. I like that. Angie Brooks, it has been an absolute pleasure to enjoy your music and get to know you a little bit. We look forward to having you back in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Great. Thank you so much.
Such a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Anytime. time. And you're not so bad yourself, Chicago Slim. Thank you so much, Dr. Dan. Tell Dr. Carlo we say hello, but don't think about us when you're playing.
She's definitely the backbone of the band. We couldn't do it without her.
Oh, that's good. See, look at that.
It's true.
We couldn't do it without her. Yeah.
Do we have a break before the news, or are we going to the news? Thank you so much. We will see you again very soon. Again, Sunday nights at the House of Blues. Coming up after this news break, we are going to talk to our friends from Stage 773. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I am so excited to welcome our guests in the studio. We have with us Brandon C. Price, John Craig, Chloe. I don't know your last name. I don't know yours either, Kevin. Hi, Jerry. some of our new friends that I have had the pleasure of hanging out with over the last couple weeks at Sketchfest. As you know, I've been talking about Sketchfest every night for 2 weeks. Tonight is the last night. We're doing a little bit of a wrap party for those who work behind the scenes, who've really put in a lot of hours making sure that people enjoyed themselves. And for those of you who wondered why I spent so much time on Sketchfest and was trying to encourage you to go out, because these are performers who will, there are over 160 different groups doing 180 shows over 8 days, slices of life that you might not otherwise have the opportunity to enjoy. I wanted you to get to know the performers. And by the way, we had one person who, I don't know if other people were complaining. We ran this by WGN every single day, by the way, Craig, in our meetings. This is not like something like I forced this on anybody. This is something that we sat down and talked about. And Craig, once you came to Sketchfest, because you had not had the chance last year, what were your thoughts on that first night that you came to Sketchfest?
So the first thing is how many people are there. It is amazing.
Isn't that great?
The masses.
Yes.
And how,
it's 11,000, I think.
How at some point there's so many people in this, you know, waiting area, and then they all get into shows.
Yes.
People direct them places, and somehow they move them all.
And one of the people that was responsible for that was Chloe, who is the house manager.
Yeah,
that was. And the thing was, you always were cheerful. I never saw anyone accost you or cause any problems. But I know that there had to be things here and there, some bumps in the road, and I never noticed it. I don't think it never had any effect. It was a fantastically smooth operation the whole 2 weeks.
Great, then I did my job.
You did. Congratulations on that. Well done, m'lady. Yeah, how many times have you done Sketchfest?
I have done Sketchfest 3 times now.
And where would you rank this in order of difficulty?
This was probably the easiest for me because I knew how everything worked. So
it's like clockwork now. Yeah. And the volunteers that you had helping you were a lot of performers that have done shows.
Yes.
How would you say because there's one guy in particular who was doing backflips that was, I think, making it.
Tommy, yeah.
Was that new? Because I don't remember seeing any backflips on any
of shows. That was new. This was his first year. So
He was
definitely added something, I would say.
He was very excited to be there. Now, Kevin was taking phone calls in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Sketchubator, Craig, which is one of the things that you missed on Saturday, it was very funny. I mean, so
we're going to talk about this. We're going to okay.
No. Kevin had his own sketch.
Okay, good. Okay.
We're not going to talk about the floor coverings or.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about
Kevin. You're wondering when they're talking about it. You just must have to go to Sketchfest.
Yes.
Exactly. Kevin was unspoken rules of Sketchfest. Sketchubator is what happens at Sketchubator. Generally stays at Sketchubator.
Oh, I've already. No one told me that rule.
No, it's okay. Look, you were there, part of it as a performer, as opposed to just posting it on social media. Kevin can tell all the stories he wants about it too.
Yes,
but you got to earn your right.
I'm only going to talk about the thing that I did.
You did an artistic interpretation of what it's like to take phone calls in that box office.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about that sketch that you did.
Well, the interesting thing is it sort of fell into my lap when we got a new draft of the emergency procedure manual, which included a list of questions that one should ask in the event of a bomb threat being delivered over the phone to the box office.
So you should remain completely calm, obviously.
Yeah,
keep them on the line.
Calm, keep them on the line, mm-hmm. And then there's a series of questions that you're supposed to ask, which... I adapted a little bit, including, like, can we get your email? Did you want to get emails from us about other upcoming bomb threats? Do you,
right.
you know? And then, of course, we're next door to another theater, and so...
Right. Did you intend it for this theater or the one next door? Are you sure you meant to call Stage 773?
Did you mean to call Stage 773? Maybe you meant to call Theater Wit. It was a lot of fun. It was a nice little way of, you know, chatting out to the staff and people who we have to, you know... A lot of stuff that we have to deal with.
Yes. Now, over the course, when do the calls start coming in for Sketchfest, Kevin?
We had calls as early as November and December, just people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, what shows were getting the just general calls?
Well, when people see like celebrity shows like
Danny Pudi,
like Danny Pudi or TJ Miller, who was there, they sort of like get on the horn really quick if they're on the ball. Okay. And then we get a lot of people calling 2 days beforehand being like, why can't I get tickets?
Right. Well, and Craig, I'm sorry you missed that one too. I should have told you to make sure you went to Siblings
really
of Doctors.
I really wanted to go to Siblings of Doctors.
It was outstanding. I saw, and I don't know because I've only gone to Sketchfest twice, right? This is my second year. And Jerry, you can talk to this as well too. I have to say, I mean, I saw a lot of great shows last year, but I think that Sketchfest outdid itself this year with the breadth and scope of talent. I think that there was, and not, you know, not anything on last year, but even Cupid Players, I think. And I don't, you had less performers in this year's Cupid Players.
Yeah, we did. It just kind of worked out that way. A couple of the members that have been in for 15 years took a year off, and mm-hmm. we just kind of had this core group that came together. And Posen, I'm sure he came to you guys too. Everyone across the board involved in the fest this year. This is the 15th. This must be the best one.
It was. Well, I don't know. I only saw two. I've only seen two out of 13.
Everybody, though. All the groups he directed, Cupid, he was not shy about putting, like, this must be better than anything you've ever done. Do it now. I'll see you in 3 months.
It was all quite great.
Well,
I'm
glad it came off that way.
There was no, I did post this, and those of you who follow me on Facebook, I did I had to walk out on one show, and that, you know, and this is where I came to realization as an artist and as a consumer of art. Right, I have to go if something hits me the wrong way. I can't just sit there and continue to get angry because I had done it in another show. And the word retarded is used as part of just general language, and people are going to say it. And it's so interesting because of the range of things that I saw, the things that people might get offended by, like they could sit there and be angry, and I was like, you know what, this isn't for me. I'm just going to go. I actually went to Pick Me Up Cafe and had something to eat, and then I came back for the rest of the night. I think that I've had people walk out on my shows doing stand-up comedy because they thought it was going to be, I'm a mom, so they think it's going to be very clean. And it's better if someone goes rather than continue to get more and more angry at something that isn't intended to make somebody angry, whatever way a word is used. Now, there were things that were people might be taken aback by, like fudged. Might be pushing a lot for a few people. But I didn't see anybody get up. Like, there was a naked woman crawling into the seats. And a man, naked man with nothing on. And people sat there.
That was the most tame part of the scene.
Yes. But there were no testicles on fire this time, John Craig. What happened there?
Honestly, I'm almost
always
in the booth.
Not yours, yes.
Well, maybe later. I'm always in the booth in a totally different theater when they're performing. So mm-hmm. I only get to see the Sketchabator stuff, which is usually a bit more outlandish than even the regular mm-hmm. scene. Mm-hmm. So,
well, John, it was you saying, was it you saying today that they've shoehorned themselves because they are now known for coming to Sketchabator and bringing something so much crazier than they did the year before.
Yeah.
So everybody's sitting here going, well, they, you know, did that last year. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do now? And so I think they put art aside for the 5-minute Sketchabator sketch and just see if they can shock you more than they did last year. And so far, they have succeeded every time.
I think they did that.
And
that's
a special kind of art in itself. I mean, that's what I get.
Do you really feel that way?
I do. Yeah. Where else in my life am I ever going to see? I don't think I can describe the things I've seen.
Yeah,
on
I'm
the
not
radio,
even sure that's on
but,
the internet.
Like,
can you Google that?
I don't know.
Craig's really making sure we don't get to it.
No. I'm curious though with how Brandon reacted. I want the other side of that opinion. Do you think that some of that shock stuff isn't necessarily as artistic?
Well,
there's other stuff that we see.
So I've seen this group do very, very huge shock humor, but also with a message. And I'm not calling these guys out at all. That what they do is incredible, and they have a long open run in New York. They're very, very good and very, very talented. Jerry, if you're going to take pictures of me, let me take my glasses.
Yeah, right.
But the Sketchabator specifically doesn't seem to have that element of at least they're making a point. At least, and so if it's just shock for shock, I'm not the guy who can sit through like Saw or something like those horror movies and just watch people be tortured.
I quite enjoyed watching Brandon disappear into that partition to the vomitorium, which seemed which seemed really appropriate.
Peterlin was afraid I was going to vomit on the handheld.
I mean, he was
back up.
I mean, his eyes, like every once in a while, like he was like, do I have to go back up there? And there was an extensive cleanup process after that too.
Yeah, there was.
Like, and I think I yelled at one point, it's in your soul, you can't scrub that.
Yeah. I was saying to Brandon earlier, I feel like there might be something wrong with me because I'm up in the booth and I'm just sitting there waiting to hit light and sound cues. I'm like, okay, well, that's what's happening. Uh-huh. Great.
Me too.
And, the scene is done and go.
You're so technical.
My mind the whole time is just the curtains. The curtains. Sweet God, I don't want to change those curtains. Please don't get the curtains.
And here's the thing. Not once have we even said what happened. I don't know. We'll talk about it off the air. More after this on 720. Yeah. I'm You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm joined by some of the folks that work behind the scenes, a little bit in front of the scenes, for Sketchfest 2016, which has come to a close. Last night's 8 o'clock shows were the last in the box, the pro, the thrust, and the cabaret. John Craig, who worked tech every single show, which comes out to 180 groups. He was magic. He was actually doing it remote control in the other theaters. So if you did a quarter of all those shows, right? So yeah, what's a fourth of?
I think we did the math.
It's 45.
Yeah, I think
sounds right.
I was in the booth for, I want to say, 42 of them.
Oh my god!
There were two or three slots where either Peterlin or somebody else was in the booth just because it was a different show. Though I may have been in a different theater at that point.
Right.
And then two groups where they had somebody running sound where I ran lights. Everything else was me on both, plus Sketchybater. So I was a little, I was a little tired.
Yeah. Do you prefer being able to run the whole thing or when they have their tech person in the booth with you? Because that seems weird to me too.
It depends on what it is. So if it's literally me just hitting a sound cue and the scene is fairly static, that's fine. But if I have to hit crossfading, because all of this is live mix. We're not pre-recording cues for any of this. So live mix, fade out on left and bring up right while three different sound cues play.
Mm-hmm.
Then somebody iPhone. Running sound would be, yeah.
So, and this is one of the things I don't know how to impart on our listeners who, again, some of them wonder why we're doing Sketchfest. This is a gargantuan undertaking to run tech for over 180 shows. And what amused me, like I came in and I told my guy Sam, I'm like, it's going to be three songs. And I was on the way to the theater trying to remember what you call that thing when the lights are kind of like all like, I'm like not strobing. And I was calling my husband. I'm like, look up light techniques. And it was chasing. Like I wanted chasers, but I couldn't think of it. I mean, it came to me. It's been a long time since I've been in the theater. And I'm like, I just want it to be this.
But see, that's successful communication to us.
Right.
Because these guys, I mean, like John, most of these guys, these groups are coming in from L.A. or Oklahoma or wherever, and they're bringing it. They show up 30 minutes. I mean, it's, you know, it's very
Oklahoma.
You've
ever
been comparable. To Oklahoma City?
Those are the two places.
Well, they show up, you know, they've got a binder maybe with a script.
And dreams, by the way, Kevin. Yeah. Dreams.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they have not worked with this tech person before. You have 30 minutes to talk about it, and you just have to instantly, and, you know, some groups will come prepared. Some groups went to art school. but most groups are just like, well, my phone has the songs, and I think I know the lights at the end of it.
I will say this. A prime example of one that went perfectly was Charles in the Box. That group, Charles, Charlie Chuck, I specifically requested that I do their tech because I've been doing their tech for, I think this was their fourth or fifth year at Sketchfest.
Tell me how they do it right.
Well, the first year we did it, I knew, like, we established what they want. They have a few different looks. It'll be like constrained, so basically central wash, a little bit central stage, and then either with cool or warm, so a little bit of red, a little bit of blue, and then or a full wash, which is the whole stage lit, depending on what the scene is. So knowing that, like, oh, they showed up, and they're like, oh, it's you, handed me a script, and I just went, okay, here's the preset.
Right.
We adjusted it from there, and I just wrote down those levels, and then it said, here's your options for cool and warm. So their lighting cues were all done within 5, maybe 7 minutes. And then we went through and we did a cue to cue
right
away, quick, no problem.
So then again, for, you know, because it took me a long time to understand theater and, you know, we would do tech rehearsals and I was like, you know, just do cue to cue. That means you're going through the script, but it's just where the light or sounds change during a scene.
Like the top of the scene will be the music will fade down as lights fade up generally.
Mm-hmm.
You get your first lighting cue. And then if there's an internal cue, be it a gunshot sound effect or a lighting change for dramatic purposes, that's another cue. And then you have the bottom of the scene, which is generally either a fade out or a hard blackout. And then there's either...
Chasers.
Yeah.
I want them to be called the Patty Vasquez lights from now on.
Posen's already got that. What you guys listening can't see is Brandon is waving his arms around like a maniac.
I want the lights to do this.
There is a reason that I refer to that as Posen lights, and there's a reason that Brian Peterlin always techs all of Posen's shows. I generally run the Cupid tech during most of the year, but Peterlin has been working with Posen for so long, and nobody has enough time to sit down and write out cues that Posen sits in the booth during tech rehearsal and goes, make it go, flashy lights. Red over there, blue, 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 blue. And Peterlin just does it. and it's fine.
They communicate very well in their own special
language. Well, he's a conductor who has to figure out what it's going to look like, but it's hard to articulate.
Yeah,
conductor
exactly.
With no thumbs.
No thumbs.
And it works magically, because if you saw the Cupid show, it looked and ran beautifully.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, there were a couple moments where I was watching a show, and this was, again, because I know what it takes to be out there for this particular run. I hadn't done it last year.
Sure.
So then watching other performers, some who's like cues, you know, they kind of, like, I was kind of, since I don't know Sam that well, I don't think I articulated as much how I wanted, when I wanted the music to come down. So I actually said, and then I turned the radio down. But not to like draw attention to it. But,
sure, you are.
But there were moments where actors would kind of blatantly bring that into their performance of like, well, that's not how that cue is supposed to go. And I'm like, right. Do it or don't do it, but don't not do it.
Did you see Last Call Cleveland?
Yes, I was there. So, okay, so that's entirely different. Yes.
Well, yeah, but
because you ran by me, by the way, do you remember?
That was done perfectly. So that was an out-of-town group where the Friday night we did their tech rehearsal, and it went perfectly smoothly once we figured out how to work their Cue Lab, which is a program where you can run your cues off of, video, whatever.
God. It's genius.
And it went perfectly. They had that was one of the groups where they had their own person in the booth. So they were running their sound and video, and I was just doing lights. So we hit all those cues. At some point, but after that show and between their next show, one of their guys, his child was ill, had to leave, go back. So they rewrote their entire show.
And we've been taunting him ever since. We didn't know it was the child. See, I thought it was the performer or the tech person.
No, it was – no. So
there's a couple other groups where performers got sick too. So.
Yeah. There was a whole group that – yeah.
So he left – but he left his computer behind because it was his computer with all the cues. And they had thrown it together and they – it should have worked on – it worked on paper. But the first time the video projection came up, it was a
postage stamp.
It was – if you are thinking of a standard computer monitor, it was smaller than a baseball card or a credit card in relation to that size.
Right.
It was tiny. So –
projecting that, yes.
They just went with it and then explained what the slide was. And you went through the slideshow. And then their lighting – or their sound guy like waves. One of them runs up to the booth. And he tells him what's going on. None of the video cues are working. What's going on? I radio Peterlin. Peterlin comes in and he runs the lights. And I just tell him what's going to happen. While I then go through all of their files and pull all the videos manually and drag it onto the screen and play it at the appropriate time. And at the end, they thanked us. And they said, it's not 773's fault. It's our own idiot computer's fault for blowing up and not working.
Right.
And they didn't have to do that. They could have just went with it or whatever. So... props to them.
It was, yeah, they handled it very well. At one point they said, you're seeing all the seams. Wait a minute, we're only seams right now. We're hanging out with all of our friends from Sketch Fest 2016. And more when we come back after this on 720 WGN. I think this is how Chloe felt when the audiences started filling up the lobby. She's like, who let these dogs out?
Seriously. It felt like they kept getting closer as the night went on.
Oh, there were times that I was starting to get so claustrophobic, though, in the lobby. It was so crowded.
Oh, yeah.
And and I was telling you, I came to you and said, there need to be classes for how to be in crowded rooms.
Right. Mm.
And one of them would be no big hand gestures. If you... All right, if you talk with your hands, if you're in a big crowded room, you need to remain motionless.
Yeah.
You need to occupy as little space as possible. Some people are trying to get by. They have to go to the bathroom. They perhaps work there, whatever it is. But you also, I mean, there are people behind. I can't tell you how many times I got whacked by some girl who talked with her hands or some guy that was like had to be overly gregarious when he was telling a story. Yeah, so... John, you were on the catwalks. You didn't have to worry about these crowds.
Yeah, if you ever get that way, just... let me know, and you could probably just hide in the booth for 5 minutes.
Well, everyone was very nice.
You got to know the hiding places in that building.
Yes, and I would, and Chloe knows, I would slide along. There was one guy who wouldn't let me get to the front. He was like, where do you think you're going? And I'm like, this way.
Yeah.
And that's when we got into a shoving match, and that was weird.
I just yell, make a hole, and I jingle my keys and rattle my headset at them as I run past.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to be aggressive and push past them.
Yeah, I just to not hurt. I was having breathing problems at one point.
Sure.
No, it's were there any moments where people were just like because it's such, here's the thing, there's such a wonderful energy in that lobby. People want to see these shows. Some of them are coming to see friends or relatives.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like everything was under control, which is fascinating to me.
So you get to see some of the background stuff as a performer and just as yourself. I was saying earlier to, I think, Kevin, there's so much chaos behind the chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't even know what's going on. Yes. Siblings of Doctors, when they came in, like I got all their stuff set up for them, and I thought, oh, this is taking forever. Like, I'm running so behind. And afterwards, they're like, wow, that took you 5 minutes. Thank you so much. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I should have made this look so easy. They did an incredible show.
It was a really
that
good
was
show.
My sigh, by good. The way, on the vegan. His wife is a vegan. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to breathe that loudly. And it it was a heavy exhale, is what I like to. Rasika messaged me and said that I gave them gold, but I really didn't mean to. He just said he was married to a vegan. I was like, oh. And the acoustics in that room are ridiculous. I didn't expect it to carry. Like, people in the balcony, Kiki came up to me and she's like, that was you, wasn't it? I didn't mean to. Now, Kevin, how do you tell people who are calling for tickets for something like Sketchfest, how do you explain how to pick a show to see?
I usually tell them to check the website and read for something that sounds interesting, because a lot of the time, or I just recommend what I think sounds interesting, which has backfired or gone really well in the past. But,
right. How do you know it's backfired? People come back to you?
Last year I saw a group I really liked on Friday night, and they were performing Friday night and Saturday night. So I was recommending them to a bunch of people on Saturday night. And one group of four people walked out and asked for their money back. And I was like, I can't do that.
Well, you can't account for all taste.
Yeah, was just like, so I always, now I have a little preface before I recommend things.
This is what it is kind of weird. Like, when you go to a restaurant and somebody, well, what do you eat? You're like, well, I eat a lot of red meat. So if you happen to like fish, we're not going to have the same conversation.
Yeah. And so there's certain groups that you know have a certain style. So you're like, if you like this thing, you'll like this thing. Mm-hmm. But right. Otherwise, there's 167 groups and yeah. I have not seen all of them. So.
Well, this is what I noticed this year compared, and maybe I'm just looking at it differently because I was both part of it and I've seen so many more shows now. And when I come to like a group and other, don't hit me the same way. Like, I saw a bunch of solo performers. Sarah Barnhart's show was filled with so much mirth. I don't know if that's a way to put it, but like, there was something different about the way she connected with both the material, the audience, and the story that she was telling compared to some of the other shows that I saw. And like, Cupid Players does something. I saw another group, and I won't say which one, but I'm like, they're trying to be that kind of a group and just swinging so wildly, not quite get. How do you explain what it is that Cupid Players brings? I mean, like, that sort of, because I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it's just passion or if it's just getting it or being that just incredibly likable as a group.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm 3 years deep and I'm one of the newest ones. And I think what that group has, and I think most successful groups would tell you this, they have the same thing, is just like a sick amount of friendship.
Okay.
Like, we sat in a room for 72 hours straight that last week, like, just busting stuff out, and we never got tired of each other. And so there's not only a fun element there, but there's also a respect of, like, Patty, I'm pitching you this idea. It's not very good.
Right.
And I trust you to tell me, hey, that's not very good. Okay. Whereas if you're in a room, like, we five just start writing together, I don't know Kevin's writing style. I don't know him well enough to go, dude, no. You know what I mean? So once you get past all that and you get into this fun, awesome, creative place, even if you had the same material that another group is doing, if they're not bonded in the way that you are, if they're not trusting you on stage, not peripherally worrying that you're going to miss the step or miss the cue or something, you're all like – it's just 1,000 times easier, and when it's easy, it's more fun.
And I think confidence is a big part of what you guys bring to the stage. And again, and I know that Sarah was directed by Tim.
Yeah.
And I think, and that kind of shows a little bit. Like, you know, when I do my storytelling, it's one thing, and I've done it for a while. But I know that a lot of us need outside eyes. You also have Brian Posen, who has this entire sensibility and experience that he brings to that.
Oh yeah, we're great writers, but Pose is the. The glue, I don't, whatever, yeah, the super god.
He's definitely epoxy of some sort, a very strong.
He is sticky, pungent, that guy is sticky.
Chloe, you saw a lot of the shows this year.
Oh,
would
yeah,
you say
yeah.
that's, I mean, and they were all great groups, but there were ones where you went, I really came, again, Siblings with Doctors sticks out for me very much, because they touched on so many things, whether it was gender or race or, you know, competitiveness. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were a bunch of good shows, like Uncalled For, Charles, which John mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously Cupid. And, like, Cupid's awesome because I've seen so many of their variations of their shows, and obviously this one was new for Sketchfest. And Cupid's the kind of show where, like, you just know it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because they're just great, you know? They're
John,
always
John's
good.
John's like, fine,
so.
I guess I would say that, too.
I'm looking at Brandon going, oh, look at his ego. It's
so hard. Oh, I didn't mean to make
it
his
meant,
ego
no,
bigger.
Chloe, I heard what you said. Thank yeah. you.
You're welcome.
He took it to
you're
his
welcome.
Heart.
It means a lot more that. Than when John says it, because he clearly doesn't mean it.
I just thought that was pretty good.
Now, Jerry, you were doing photography for a lot of the shows. Does that make sense what I was talking about as far
oh,
as...
Sure. Oh, sure. One of the things you notice, or I notice, taking photographs is stage picture. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to John about this before.
Thank you for only sending me ones where I don't have as many double chins. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It was very
I
nice.
I screened those out.
Hey, thank you.
But they weren't
I told him beforehand. I'm like, oh, you have to take it from above if you could get a ladder.
I was in a group that posed and coached. The group was called Old. You had to be at least 40 to get into it. Mm-hmm. So I saw...
Is that old? Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, not anymore.
Well, compared to those Columbia kids.
That's yeah. True.
I saw...
Columbia.
Brian was my first ever improv teacher. Mm-hmm. So I've known him for a long time. But this was the first time I'd ever done any kind of sketch with him. And what I noticed was he has a way of just standing back and letting your talent come out.
Right.
Whatever it is. And doing it in a way that it's not competitive. It's not people saying, I don't have enough stage time.
Right.
I can see. I've been watching Cupid for years, and yeah, I've watched the transitions, and I rail on him about, you took this out, and I really, you know, this is why I come to see the show, and then my old man isn't in there anymore.
Right.
All of the Cupid material that was at Sketchfest this year was brand new, and I loved it.
Yeah, no, it was outrageously fun. And I think what I'm trying to, because like I said, I saw a lot of different shows, and it's partly that confidence, but I think you're right. It's also having fun doing the show together. And even though Sarah was doing a solo show, you could tell that the way she had created it was like, they just made each other laugh when they were doing it with yeah. her and Tim. And I think you could see that coming out in a lot of the shows. And every show isn't just for the laughs. A lot of it is for the point of view, mm-hmm. for the commentary on society. Kevin, did you have any favorites this year?
I mostly was trapped in a tiny box handing out tickets for a lot of Sketchfest, but I got to see, usually I get to see something when I get off of my shift. I run in and see something.
Right.
Rabbit was a favorite this year. Mm-hmm. Those boys are always so smart, and there's mm-hmm. like a lot of just like mischievous joy in their eyes.
Yes,
they're on stage.
That's
the
nicest way to put that. Very true.
Andrew
true
Bentley and Chris Blake.
Mischievous
joy.
That's part of it. Yes.
Yeah, that joy is like, I mean, that's part of the reason I love working Sketchfest in general, is like everyone's there to have a good time and
right.
like mm-hmm. is so easygoing and laid back and like there to laugh and just like there to engage, and it's such a like great atmosphere mm-hmm. to be a part of.
Which is what makes Sketchy Bader kind of fun, even though I probably shouldn't talk about Sketchy Bader.
Talk about it. I just wouldn't give away specifics.
I didn't,
right. scenes.
No, I did not. I about last year's, I said, that's not the way you make tea.
that's not the way you make tea.
Oh, that's true.
That's
I've never tried that way.
Tea.
Yes.
This is delicious. How did you make it?
By the way, Esmeralda, they were looking around wondering whether or not news and traffic are recorded. Are you recorded?
No.
There you are.
She's real.
I should have gone, no, I am not. She's so super real. Have you had a chance to come down and enjoy some pizza?
I did.
Oh,
very early
oh,
on.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank
I
you.
I stole some.
So good. So we've got some slices. Thank you so much, Lou Malnati's. Go to lewstogo.com, and there are 42 locations in the Chicagoland area. Plus, if you have somebody who lives somewhere else or you live somewhere else, you can have pizza delivered to you. They freeze it. They send it to you. It's delicious. Hey, Craig, by the way, I wanted to let you know, I was behind. I think I sent you one of the late night emails that was intended for Steve Shapiro. Some of our electronic cards are that was me, not Steve and or Craig. I was behind on a couple of them.
Yeah.
So those are making their way. Steve has all of those. So thank you, Apt Electronics, as well. They, they're part of our What's in the Box. You've played What's in the Box. What's in the Box? I'm thinking about doing that live. I think I could just do that. I should have just done that to host at Zany's tonight. I'll just figure more of that. Oh, I have an idea for something. More after this on 720 WGN. I hope you all have your dancing shoes at home. By the way, we do need people to start sending us their videos of dancing to what we meant to get to. More 720 WGN.
Platform shoes. These are some things we meant to get to. We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show.
Craig, you're not even hand dancing anymore, and that sounds like a euphemism, but it's not. Well, Jason Skaggs, really excited that. I think that's really to see how much you have in the gas tank, Craig. Go to WGNradio.com. You still have a chance to catch some of that video. We have been dancing with our friends from Stage 773 in their rap party. Well done on the dancing, everybody. You okay? You're all right. Esmeralda's here to hold on the fort if any of us are unable to fulfill our obligations.
I'm busy singing.
Are you?
Sorry.
Do you like the new lyrics?
I do. I got caught off guard because I was like, what? New stuff?
Yeah.
I got to learn that.
How long is he going to make that song? He's just adding 30 seconds every
that
week.
That actually is not the complete version.
Oh. The song is what we it did I not turn let into it? What we meant to get.
Oh, no. You played all of what we have so far. He is not done.
He's not. That's right.
There will be more.
It's going to be an opera by the time we're done. It's going to be the last half hour of the show. It's going to be pretty epic. We are wrapping up our Sketchfest coverage. It was really so much fun. Congratulations again. The world's largest Sketchfest, over 160 groups performing 180 shows over 8 days. Somehow John Craig made it, Chloe made it, Kevin made it. Yeah. Brandon, you took some time off.
I did. I cruised through this year. And I watched you guys
slacker.
Do the thing. Because I've done John's job. I've teched a million shows. Mm-hmm. I did house managing the year after. I'd never do the box office.
Well, you also have a second. You also have a second show, which you guys are now also launching your baby, your vamp
yes,
baby.
Yes, we are. Quick, Fridays at 8 in February, we're launching the Vamp Comedy Cabaret. So it's a similar show, but it's very much more cabaret style. There's a pianist, there's a musical guests from around the city, and they're still doing all that hilarious make-em-up comedy, drinky fun time.
And that will be Fridays at 8 p.m., and you still have your vamp at 10:30, mm-hmm. the full-blown show with the band and everything. And then on Saturday nights, Cupid has a heart on.
Yes, and even if you have seen the show, what we do is we incorporate new material from the brand-new Sketchfest shows every year. So now, starting this next week, you will see a completely brand new show. Jerry, maybe it's missing some stuff that you loved. Maybe it's got some new stuff that you didn't know you loved yet.
And does that include the trying to help yourself out physically?
I guess you'll have to come see.
I hope so. I guess we have to come and
find
out.
I'm going to have to talk to Peterlin for those lighting cues because I haven't seen some of these.
Craig and I still have an argument about this.
Oh, yes. Well, now, but see, Craig has now seen the stage version of it.
I have seen it. It is a very funny segment. Every guy doesn't want to do that. That is not a universal thing that people want to do.
Hey, man.
Well, now that we have a couple extra men in the room, John Craig, is this something that you have, do you know what we're talking about?
No, I don't know what they're talking about.
Craig, how would you explain?
Well, there's some ways where if you're alone, you might enjoy yourself. And one, according to the show, would involve the upper part of your...
Orally satisfying yourself.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people have probably tried that. I think like when they're 13, 14, right around that age, when you're somewhat flexible. Or maybe in Brandon's case, 13, 14 hours ago when he was slightly...
Well, they've been working on that.
I'm not a quitter is my thing.
That's fine.
I pulled three muscles just watching it.
Yeah. Kevin, we won't make you answer. Under the...
I used to be a gymnast, but... all I have to contribute to the conversation is that.
What?
Do you need a spotter is the real question.
No, I don't.
So
no,
if you're very intrigued by what you're hearing, come see Cupid has a heart on.
There we go. Cupid has a heart on.
Cupid has a heart on. I have to yell that
heart.
In the lobby.
Heart on. What's Cupid doing?
A-R-T.
Well, maybe you said Cupid has a heart on.
If you are in the lobby, you will hear me go, we are now seating for Cupid has a heart on. And everyone in the lobby goes, ha, 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 very cute. And then comes into the theater.
With a light German accent?
Very cute. Just sketching fast.
By the way, now we've come full circle to how we started the show for my son's day off for Martin Luther King Day. We celebrated by watching Die Hard.
The original?
The original with
Alan Rickman.
Well, how was there? I mean, like Die
Hans
Gruber.
Hard.
Right, shoot the glass. It's one of my favorite moments. I was listening to him. I'm like, is he doing a German accent in the movie, or is it just his English accent? I was trying to figure it out during the whole movie, and I think it was still just an English accent. Craig sent me all the stories that we meant to get to. By the way, I want to cover this one because I came out of Sketchfest feeling so good. I think you should seek out stories that make you happy. And this woman was having a really rough day. She'd gone to pick up one of her kids, and she ran over to get her other kid, and she had to run some errands at Target, and she was just feeling frustrated, feeling the weight of the day. And there was an elderly woman in front of her who was paying for all of her goods with coins. Which, now, have you ever stood behind somebody and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She started to feel that way until she watched the cashier help the elderly woman count each piece of change and see how far she'd come. And she asked if she had enough to buy a plastic bag. And he said she did. And he ran. But because not only was this cashier being so caring with her, but this woman who was getting frustrated noticed that her daughter was watching him be kind. And she thought, you know what? This is my moment today. This is my moment to share with my daughter how we should treat each other in the world. So you can go to WGNtelevision.com and see that it's the photo of Target Cashier's Act of Kindness on WGNTV.com. And it's really sweet. I mean, like, because we do. We were in a rush. People are in our way. This happens a lot in traffic. You know what? I'm living my life in memes now. You don't know other people's stuff. I am. This is my new thing. It's going to be my next show.
Hang in there, Tiger.
No, but it's going to be it'll be a lot of the zero F's given kind of memes and stuff like that. It's going to be a lot of those. But it is, you don't know what somebody else is going through. So take a step back, take a breath, and live in that moment. What else did we forget to get to, Craig?
There's a story from Vice.com about students from America that are moving to Europe to not have to pay their student loans back.
Is this
bouncing to Europe?
Yeah. So I guess this is not on the scale of draft dodging.
No.
Right? So
Some people are only
Germany says straight up, like, come here.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be a citizen. We'll pay for your school. I think that's true. I have somebody call in and tell me I'm ignorant, but
I picked up my light German accent?
Was ist das in Universitäten?
Apparently, very soon we'll be able to see a bunch of different planets all at the same time. That's rare for that to happen. I think the five visible planets, Venus, Saturn, Mars, Jupiter, and Mercury, will all be
Without medication, we can see it without.
You can see it just by looking up at the sky.
That's gonna be
weird. Wait, five visible planets
in
Mercury,
alignment.
Venus,
localized
Saturn,
entirely within this
Mars,
area.
Jupiter.
Wait, all the time?
Without this is just on January 20th. They will appear in a diagonal row before dawn on Wednesday, like January 20th.
That seems apocalyptic, doesn't it? If it was all the time, you'd be like, this is something out of a sci-fi movie.
The phenomenon will occur every early morning until February 20th. So it'll exist for an entire month.
Well, make sure you look. I feel bad. I didn't actually have a moment to talk to Craig and John Craig about their mutual passion for superheroes. So all the Deadpool, like Elliot Serrano had posted a conversation about whether it should be R-rated, X-rated.
Triple X.
Oh, John,
I don't know if I want to see Deadpool in a triple X situation.